Hey, Brave Little State listeners, this is producer Sabine Pooks. You might remember that back in October, we released a three-part series called Recognized, about Abenaki peoples and the ongoing dispute about who belongs to their communities. In the series, we investigated claims made by two Abenaki First Nations that are federally recognized by the Canadian government, called Odinak and Woolinak. They say the four groups that Vermont recognizes as Abenaki tribes are, quote, unrelated to the real Abenaki. And they asked for an investigation into Vermont's state recognition process, which lawmakers approved back in 2010. The groups in Vermont, meanwhile, dispute those claims, and they say they'd rather coexist. If you haven't listened to Recognized yet, we recommend doing that first. You can find all three episodes in our podcast feed and linked in today's show notes. If you have, you'll remember that what's at stake here is power, money, and the right to be the authority on your own story. Reporter Elodie Reed has continued to follow this issue since we released the series. And this week, she shared her most recent findings with our colleague, Mitch Wertlieb. He hosts Vermont Public's daily news podcast, The Frequency. We're resharing their interview here. Here's Mitch and Elodie.
Hi, Elodie.
Hey, Mitch.
So in the Recognized series, you looked into Odinak and Woolinak First Nations claims about the state recognition process. Is that right?
Yeah. And one of the things we found was Vermont's state recognition process did not require groups to document their descendancy from historical Indigenous peoples. And that's counter to how Indigenous peoples generally identify, at least according to the National Congress of American Indians and the United Nations. It's important to note that Indigenous nations are self-governing political bodies that have maintained historical continuity and sovereignty since they first interacted with settlers, and that it is up to each Indigenous nation to collectively determine who belongs and who does not. We also reported that almost all the core families making up the Abenaki Nation of Missisquoi, which is by far the largest state-recognized tribe, have not or cannot demonstrate their Abenaki ancestry. That's according to reports by state and federal authorities and a recent peer-reviewed paper.
Well, what do Vermont's state-recognized tribes say?
They say they're being unfairly scrutinized. And they defend the rigor of the state recognition process, saying they did submit genealogical documentation establishing, quote, kinship and ancestry. But Vermont's public record law explicitly says genealogical documents provided for state recognition won't be made public. And so we can't verify what they contain or to whom they establish kinship and ancestry. And again, Vermont's state recognition criteria is looser than what is required for federal recognition and also for enrollment in many Indigenous nations.
So I'm wondering, how are lawmakers thinking about all of this?
Yeah, so I went to the State House this month on a day when representatives from state-recognized tribes were in the building to talk with lawmakers. And at one point, they were recognized on the House floor by Craftsbury Representative Catherine Sims, and they were greeted by a round of applause.
From our state-recognized tribes, Chief Brenda Gagne, Chief Don Stevens, Chief Roger Sheehan, Linda Sheehan, and Rich Holshue. I hope the members will join them in welcoming them to the State House.
Will the guest of the member from Craftsbury please rise and be recognized?
In recent years, Sims has received an award from the Vermont Commission on Native American Affairs, and she currently facilitates the Native Caucus. In response to Odinak and Woolinak First Nations' request for Vermont authorities to investigate state recognition, Sims says that issue was in the past.
I continue to feel like the legislature had its process, that the committees of jurisdiction did their due diligence, and that also feels like a kind of internal Indigenous conversation, and hope that the, different tribes can find a way to come together and have difficult conversations and find a way forward.
As for whether the legislature might re-examine its role in state recognition, Sims had this to say.
Yeah, I think that's a question for the folks who chair those committees about, and who were there at the time.
So were you able to find any of those lawmakers who were there at the time of state recognition?
Yeah. So one lawmaker who meets that criteria is Waterbury Representative Tom Stevens. He says he has no plans to revisit the process.
We won't be looking at redoing our state recognition. We're pretty happy with where it is right now. The recognition process that we formed here was to try to benefit individuals who identified as Indigenous. And what was important to us was that the government wasn't saying that they're Indigenous. We have a long 400 plus year history of telling people who they are, especially Indigenous people.
And he pushed back against concerns from Odinak and Willinak First Nations that the state recognition process appears to have elevated and benefited groups of people who have not or cannot demonstrate their Abenaki ancestry, which is, again, a norm among Indigenous nations.
I will disagree that we need to require descendancy or blood quantum in order to determine indigeneity in this state. It's not our place. It's a supremacist and racist way of looking at things. That from the state system, individual tribes are free to make those decisions amongst themselves, and I think our legislation allows for that.
Stephen says he's hearing from people both affiliated with state-recognized tribes and not. And he says that while he's sympathetic to anybody feeling harm has been done, including the Abenaki First Nations, he says their accusations have cut deep.
I'm disappointed in the conversation that's happened. I'm disappointed in this strong desire on the parts of many to attack people in ways that are harmful. That's what I see. But I don't think I don't think turning over the legislation is going to help.
And Elodie, did you speak with any lawmakers who took a different view?
Yeah, I spoke with Chittenden County Senator Keisha Rahm Hinsdale, who was also involved with Vermont state recognition legislation as a young state representative over a decade ago. And she says it's always been important for her for Vermont to acknowledge the history, dignity, and political rights of Indigenous peoples in this region, and that the process was contentious back then, much as it is now.
I was one of the only people of color in the building, so probably one of the only people who was a bit inoculated when I was called racist for, you know, challenging a very white-presenting group of people on whether or not we should simply write their indigeneity into law.
Rahm Hinsdale says the original state recognition bill didn't name specific groups.
I hoped that we would have a process led by Indigenous leaders that included scholarly experts that have an archaeological and genealogical background that would help us ensure integrity in the process.
But she says that's not what happened, and says she's personally apologized to Odinak First Nation for her role in the state recognition process.
When I apologized, it was for my zeal in trying to create a process that gave people that dignity of recognition while not having national tribal experts and nationally recognized Indigenous groups at the table.
And moving forward, she says she will continue meeting with Odinak First Nation. And she wants to take the path that does the least harm to Abenaki people's reputation and heritage.
That all said, those most impacted are pretty clear that the biggest harm has already occurred, that they feel erased by some of our work. And we have to listen to that.
Did any other lawmakers share the views of Senator Rahm Hinsdale?
Yes. I also spoke with Senator Thomas Chittenden. He also represents Chittenden County, and he says he's been in touch with Odinak First Nation as well. And he says he's still learning about the issue.
We will not benefit if we keep any of this conversation in the shadows, in the closet, in the dark. We should openly discuss and look at our history and our roots.
One thing Chittenden says he was concerned to learn about was a Vermont residency requirement for testimony in Senate committee hearings in 2011 and 2012, when state recognition of different groups was being debated. This effectively excluded most Odinak perspectives.
I think that is a glaring oversight when it comes to recognizing those individuals that have claims to this land that precede those boundaries of the state of Vermont. And that's what we're really talking about here, is unceded land.
The House committee hearings don't appear to have had a similar residency requirement at that time, but no witnesses affiliated with Odinak are listed in those hearing records. Chittenden says he wants Vermont's year-old Truth and Reconciliation Commission to get involved and to examine the concerns raised by Odinak and Willinak First Nations over who Vermont has recognized as Abenaki.
Okay, so lawmakers are having what sounds like mixed responses to the First Nations request to investigate state recognition. In the meantime, if you walk through, say, the Vermont State House or the Burlington Airport or in various libraries and museums, you'll see displays about Abenaki heritage and culture. These are set up namely by members of state-recognized tribes, and according to your reporting, Elodie, the Abenaki First Nations take issue with that. Last month, I understand Odinak and Woolinak sent a letter to about 50 people in Vermont's museum, library, and education fields. What are they asking for?
The Abenaki First Nations say that if it is educators' intention to work with the people who have preserved Abenaki culture and language through 400 years of colonization, Odinak and Woolinak First Nations are those people. They say their nations have survived centuries of war, dispossession, and removal from lands that became the U.S. and Vermont, and that while an international border cut their traditional territory in two, Abenaki peoples have continued to travel, live, and trade in their ancestral lands. And the Abenaki First Nations invited educators to meet with them.
If you want Abenaki material, stories, history, and stuff, then you should call on us instead of calling on them.
That's Odinak First Nations Band Council Manager Danielle Nolet. He says several interested people have gotten back after the letter went out.
Well, I think we're gaining ground. Every week, every month, you know, every small steps that we do.
And is it your sense, too, that the First Nations are gaining ground in Vermont?
Well, I'd say they're succeeding in getting more people to discuss the issue out in the open, though not all. About a week after the letter to educators went out in early February, I attended a meeting of the Vermont Commission on Native American Affairs, which is charged by law to develop policies and programs to benefit Native Americans in Vermont. And during that meeting, a Vermont Agency of Education official said that the agency could help connect educators with the curriculum that state-recognized tribes are building about Abenaki peoples. That curriculum would be voluntary, but it comes at a time when the state is updating its education standards to be more inclusive, culturally responsive, and anti-discriminatory. The Agency of Education later said in a written statement to Vermont Public that while it was aware of the issues raised by Odinak and Woolinak, it also respects the state recognition process.
Okay, so it seems like the Agency of Education isn't exactly getting into this issue, but you said some people are.
Yes. The co-coordinators of the Statewide Education Justice Coalition of Vermont, which has been actively organizing around this state education standards update, met with the Commission on Native American Affairs in mid-March. They were there to acknowledge they're struggling with this controversy surrounding Vermont state-recognized tribes and whether they are indigenous. Here's co-coordinator Kayla Loving.
Like, I definitely see both sides of, you know, like telling you that your identity is like not real. And then also someone saying like you're like stealing my culture.
And here's co-coordinator Alyssa Chen.
And it makes us uncertain of like, who do we work with? What do we uplift when like our kind of values guide us to think about we need to listen to stories that are untold. We need to teach the truth. It's like we don't know what the truth is in this moment.
Chen added that the concerns raised by Odinak and Woolinak First Nations and also those of Vermont state-recognized tribes shouldn't be ignored.
And so how are state-recognized tribes responding?
So the Abenaki Alliance, which is the group that represents the four state-recognized tribes, didn't respond to my request for comment. But Rich Holshue, the chair of the Vermont Commission on Native American Affairs, told me people are hurting, and he feels there's a lack of comprehension about the issue in Vermont. During that meeting with Chen and Loving, Holshue said he didn't understand how this issue is being perceived as a two-sided conflict.
It's not a conflict, it's aggression. And there is no inclusivity allowed there. They're dismissive. So rather than that embracing of all of the stories, mm-hmm. which we should all seek, we've got a contention. Instead of inclusion.
And he's not alone. Here's Jeff Benet, who also sits on the Vermont Commission on Native American Affairs.
So how is it that that you see the Vermont Abenaki as the aggressors? How does that philosophically, or just in terms, how does that ring true for you? I find it abhorrent that Odinak, you know, claims to be the victim.
Okay, maybe we should just zoom out a bit here, Elodie. Why are two Abenaki First Nations headquartered in Canada so concerned about what's happening in Vermont?
So we have to remember that present-day Vermont, along with New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Maine, and Quebec, are part of traditional Abenaki homelands. Homelands that Odinak and Willinak say they never ceded after they were displaced by European settlers. There's also plenty of documentation showing that Abenaki peoples maintained a visible presence here after colonization. Most of their 3,000 or so citizens don't live on those reserves in Quebec. And it bears repeating that this is actually not a new issue. Indigenous scholars point out that white Americans have been imitating indigenous people throughout U.S. history.
And it's also not new for the Abenaki nations, especially Odinak, to be in touch with the groups that became state-recognized tribes, right?
Right. They were actually initially supportive of the groups that became state-recognized tribes. Their denouncement of those groups over lack of genealogical and historical documentation then came in 2003. Several Odinak citizens were active in protesting Vermont's state recognition process a little more than a decade ago, and Odinak's government issued another denouncement in 2019.
Okay, and then I remember there was a pretty contentious event at the University of Vermont in 2022.
Yes, and that is what marks the increasing presence of Odinak officials speaking publicly in Vermont. Jacques Watso is an elected official for Odinak, and he put it to me like this.
We still have our collective memory that those are our ancestral territories, and we are caretakers of those territories.
Watso says it's his duty as an elected official to defend traditional Abenaki territory, and particularly in Vermont, because of how well-organized state-recognized groups are here.
And is it only elected Abenaki officials who feel this way?
No, there's Abenaki First Nations citizens who are also active in this defense as well. Denise Watso, an Odinak citizen who lives in New York, protested Vermont's state recognition process.
It's painful to even go to Vermont, you know, because of what has transpired for over 20 some odd years.
She says going through that experience has made her upset and even nervous to be back in the state. But she did spend time here last spring at another UVM event attended by a number of citizens of Odinak and other Indigenous nations.
But when I got there and I got to this environment and I had all these Indigenous people and our allies, it gave me hope and power.
After that event, she says, she and a couple others walked down the hill to the lake. It was a warm, sunny day.
Went out, walked down and started drumming, and it was a beautiful experience. And I think that's more what has to happen. Because as we're drumming and singing the traditional songs, we're generating our ancestors' power, I think, to guide us and to give them their voice back.
Elodie, thank you so much for this update.
Thanks, Mitch.
That was Vermont Public's Elodie Reed speaking with Mitch Wortlieb about her reporting. You can find all three parts of Recognized in the Brave Little State feed or at bravelittlestate.org. That's also where you can find a web transcript of this story. Next week, we'll be back to answering your questions about Vermont and its people. If you have a question you want us to tackle, ask it at bravelittlestate.org. Thanks for listening.
Hey Vermont, Mitch Wortlieb here, and I host a daily news podcast from Vermont Public called The Frequency. You'll hear top stories from our newsroom in less than 15 minutes every weekday morning. Connect with our state when you search for The Frequency wherever you like to find podcasts. We're a proud member of the NPR network.